Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll do so for the remainder of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that is said on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer or send an email to me directly. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org, and East Albertville is one word. You know, you don't have to be a trained sociologist to know that there's a growing problem in America involving couples simply living together out of wedlock. This used to be called shacking up, and those that practiced shacking up used to be looked down upon by society. But society has redefined shacking up with a new word, cohabitation, which sort of takes the edge off of it as well as the stigma, and it's now mostly decided to be approved of. But you know, the scriptural consequences and the harm to adults, to children, and to society are not going to simply vanish because society may have lowered its moral standards. Man is indeed a social being. God recognized this very soon in the creation of Genesis. In fact, in Genesis 2 and verse 20, Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet or suitable for him. We find in verse 18, the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." And so it is then that in view of man's social needs, God has made provision. For we read in Genesis 2 and verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This provision is marriage, not cohabitation, as animal practice. I want us to do two things in our study today. First of all, I want to show what the scriptures teach. And second of all, I'm going to quote extensively from an article that appeared in the Rocky Mountain News, an article written by Terry Maddenly, entitled "Religious Community Reluctant to Criticize Cohabitating Couples." There are all kinds of people that attend worship services. Mr. Maddenly wrote in his book, and I quote, "From the pulpit, the typical preacher can see all kinds of people whose ears will burn during a sermon about what used to be called living in sin. There will be a few young adults who are cohabitating, as well as many moms and dads whose children quietly share street addresses with their significant others. There will be smiling couples, the preacher married without asking any personal questions. There may be one or two divorced deacons with skeletons in their closets." End of quote. Friends, cohabitation, or even unscripturally being married, is a growing problem among all religions. And yet the scriptures teach that only those who are eligible for marriage may marry without sin. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and verse 9, "Whosoever shall divorce his wife, except it be for fornication, and marries another, committeth adultery. And whoso marries her that is divorced, commits adultery." And, you know, there are different types of preachers in the pulpit, sad to say. The scriptures indicated that even during the first century, there were different types of men who preached. For example, over the book of Philippians, in chapter 1, Paul makes mention of this, beginning with verse 15. "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for a defense of the gospel." It's in the book of 2 Timothy that Paul also writes in chapter 2, beginning with verse 17, these words, "And the word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having his seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we see then, and this Mr. Mattingly also wrote a statement, and I quote, "Few ministers have the courage to risk offending these people. Preachers are afraid that if they preach on cohabitation, many people will get mad and that some will hit the exits," end of quote. You know, many churches of all type have become a haven for sin. Instead of men being committed and dedicated to the preaching of the truth, many preachers have just simply become nothing more than corporate businessmen who are trained in public relations. The emphasis too often in so many churches is simply on bringing in and keeping people without regard to their spiritual matters. And we find that this is certainly what we can read in the scriptures. For instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Many preachers are afraid to preach on things that are needed in a lot of areas, and moral issues is certainly one of those areas. Mattingly also observed, and I quote, "Preachers are getting very gun-shy when it comes to issues of marriage, family, and sex. Certainly, cohabitation would be right at the top of a list of these issues, along with premarital sex. They are so afraid of getting beat up because they have hurt people's feelings," end of quote. And you know, often the problem behind a lack of moral teaching is unbelief. We see this even in the New Testament in Acts chapter 27. Notice what we read in verse 25. It says that, "Whereas, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that he shall be even as it was told me." See, Paul believed God. I think more of what we have today is not so much people believing God, or they may believe in God, but they don't believe God. And there's a big difference between that. So we find then that the quote is made by Mattingly that some church leaders have fallen silent on this issue because they no longer believe that sex outside of marriage is a sin. Their silence is understandable. End of quote. But friends, we don't need to forget 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Notice as we begin reading in verse 2. "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power of her own body but the husband, and likewise also the husband has not power of his own body but the wife. Defraud you not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." You know, society in the first century of what we read about in the New Testament was often ungodly and immoral. Take, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 4, notice what we began reading at verse 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feelings, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." See, denying and ignoring ungodliness and immorality is not the way to properly deal with them. In fact, Mr. Mattingly made this statement, and again I quote, "The Marriage Savers Network is active in 163 cities and towns in 39 states, and wherever he travels to speak, McAmis said he never sees more than one or two hands raised when he asks, how many of you have ever heard a sermon on cohabitation? McManus is convinced most preachers simply do not know that 5 million unmarried Americans, 60% of all couples, are living together." End of quote. And women, as a rule, used to want the security of marriage before they committed themselves and brought children into the world. But it appears that women may be some of the leaders in this cohabitation movement. Mattingly's article states, and I quote, "The researchers found that deeply religious men are much less likely to cohabit before saying their vows. But to their surprise, they learned that religious women are just as likely to move in before marriage as religious women." End of quote. So see, involved in being a Christian is not only the matter of avoiding the sinful circumstances, but also it's rebuking and it's warning of those who are in sin. Take, for instance, what we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." There's some discouraging facts for those that cohabit. God's love for man is seen in the fact that God has given man commandments for man's own good and happiness. Part of God's plan for man is marriage, as opposed to just living together. Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says, "Let the marriage bed be undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." The scriptures plainly condemn cohabitation under the heading of words like adultery and fornication, just like we read in Hebrews 13 and 4, as we read a moment ago in 1 Corinthians 7. "To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband." A society and a religion that softens its view against cohabitation has lowered the moral standard. Friends, sin is sin. However, some sins have greater consequences as far as affecting others. Cohabitation will weaken any society and will ultimately cause its downfall. We appreciate you listening. We see our time is gone. We hope that you'll listen tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.